The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I am here today with Nicole Asmanoff of American Star Mortgage. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for all of my listeners, it might seem a little bit random that I'm having someone in who works in the mortgage industry for a health show. I could see where they would be a little confused right now.
It's a stretch for sure.
Maybe. But I've gotten to know Nicole over the last few months and found out that she is a little bit of an expert in the field of environmental science, right?
Yes. Yep. I would say so.
Yeah. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
So I actually do have a degree in environmental science that I got from Maryville University, and I worked within the environmental consulting field for almost 6 years. Until I realized that, you know, it wasn't really right for me at the time, and I decided to take off and find a new path, and that led me to mortgages, where I have this amazing opportunity to help people and give back. So it's quite fulfilling.
Yeah, and I hear that you are doing great things. You're really good at your job and able to help a lot of people connect and get help.
I really just try to listen and figure out what it is that my clients need and help them find the answer and achieve their goals and their dreams.
Yeah. And it's awesome. So moving forward a little bit with the tie into the show today, though, I wanted to do a show on environmental toxins, things that people may need to be aware of around their house, around their yard, around their town, around their, you know, their general vicinity. And you have some experience as, you know, asbestos home inspection, correct? Mm-hmm. And some other areas of expertise that I wanted to tap into to provide some information, because I feel like it might be really helpful for people.
It's definitely a topic that's hot right now among people. I was a licensed asbestos building inspector for 3 years. I've worked with lead-based paint testing, but I've done also a lot of research of the source of toxins in our environment, where they come from, how they got there, and the regulations on what levels are acceptable and what types of cleanups happen and how to sample for them and things like that.
Right. So inevitably, toxins can affect our health.
Definitely.
We're not going to jump into all of that today, but I just want to give people some food for thought in terms of things that they might want to look for, red flags. So talking about asbestos, give us a little bit of information. A lot of people have heard the word asbestos and just frankly don't even know what it means, what it is, where it would be.
It's everywhere. Asbestos was the miracle that happened. It's in over 3,500 different products, including things like cement and asphalt, drywall, flooring materials, joint compound, pretty much anything that you can use to build a building that is not wood, metal, or glass. And so it was used extensively throughout the 50s and 60s into the 70s until it was banned.
So sad. Under all those pink kitchens, they're so pretty.
Yes.
All that gnarly asbestos.
Yeah. The good thing about asbestos is if it's intact, it's not a danger. The problem happens when it gets damaged. So if your drywall is peeling, you have water damage, things are crumbling, anything like that, that's when you start to have a problem.
Okay, gotcha. So in the older buildings, when people are going in and doing repairs, something that they need to be aware of.
Yeah, and you can get it sampled. There are various environmental testing companies in St. Louis. You can look them up, and you just send them a piece, not very big, you know, a couple inches, if it's flooring, especially if you're taking up floor tiles or tearing down drywall in an old house.
Gotcha. Yeah. When my husband and I were rehabbing a house a few years back, we made a gnarly discovery ourselves as we were pulling up some flooring. And yeah, that's when we kind of learned about asbestos. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So as far as what are some tips? So you've said they can contact, say that again, they can contact
environmental testing companies. Mm-hmm. There are a few in St. Louis. I'm drawing a blank.
That's okay.
At the moment.
But. We can post some with the show link later mm-hmm. on. So I'll try to do that on the facebook.com/getrealtoheal page. So moving on to other possible toxin issues, lead, of course, Missouri. I'm from St. Francis County. I mm-hmm. grew up in Bon Terre, Missouri, right over a lead mine. Big one.
Yep.
I think back in like 1976, Bon Terre, Missouri produced somewhere around 70% of the world's lead.
Yeah. Actually, the whole of Jefferson County is considered a National Priorities List site because of all of the lead mining, the heavy metal mining and smelting. They actually used the byproducts as fill for development. So it got scattered all over the county.
Oh, totally. We had a sandy playground, is what we called it at our elementary school, and the chat dump, which was mm-hmm. literally the height of the arch, the St. Louis Arch, but it was a giant pile of tailings that yep. came out of the mine.
Yep.
Yeah, and it used to, on a windy day, it would blow at us. And I think back and I'm like, ooh, no wonder I have metal toxicity. Yep.
But the good part about the fact that it's an NPL is that you can contact the EPA if you're a resident on a residential home, and they will come out and test it for free.
Awesome. And then, of course, lead and other heavy metals being in the ground soil in other areas too, right? From mm-hmm. When we had leaded gasoline. Yep. Fumes and things like that. So what are some steps that people can take? So they can get tested, mm-hmm. right?
They can test the soil. And lead pipes in your house can also be a source of lead consumption for you and your children. So you can do lead and water testing also. It can cause developmental issues.
Delays. And,
in children.
Yeah. So. Okay. Okay. So good to know. So they could ask their pediatrician about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. All right. So what are some other, things to look for maybe in the yard or as you move kind of outside of the home, things to be aware of?
So we talked briefly, if you live near a creek, any type of surface water, you want to be very aware of the types of commercial developments that are around. If you happen to be near any runoff from parking lots, if you're in an agricultural area, fertilizer runoffs, so gas stations, auto shops, places like that, that rainwater can run off and it goes into these creeks that maybe your kids are playing in. Or I know that one place I lived, there was an old closed and covered landfill nearby, and we actually got a letter in the mail that says don't play in this creek by your residence because there could be high levels of this, that, or the other from leaching out of the landfill. And there are multiple closed landfills throughout, the area.
That is so sad. You know, I'm flashing back to when I was a kid, there was a creek that ran through our property. And if I hadn't been able to play in that creek just because it was polluted, that breaks my heart.
You got to be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in the next segment, we'll kind of talk about some things people can do to, if this bothers them like it bothers me, yep. maybe things they could do to take action.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. So other things to note, and I know you and I have, and I don't know a lot about it. I'm learning, and there's a great documentary out of here, but about the Westlake landfill.
Mm-hmm. I've done extensive research on where that stuff came from, where it traveled, where it was stored, and how it ended up where it is now. So it's an interesting story.
Yeah. So things that people need to be aware of, though, if they mm-hmm. live within a certain radius.
Definitely. Like I said, Jefferson County, you've got your heavy metals issues. If you're up near the Earth City area, you've got your Westlake landfill issues with the radioactive components to it. And there's actually several other areas in the St. Louis area that have larger issues that could impact you if you live near it.
Gotcha. Okay. So heavy stuff today.
A little bit.
A little heavier on Get Real to Heal, but that's kind of part of getting real, right?
Exactly.
Taking a real hard look at what we're doing to our environment and where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess, are there anything else on this? We've got just a minute or so left on this particular segment. We've mm-hmm. got some bigger topics that we're going to dive into in the next half. Anything else you want to say in terms of in the home, things that people can be looking for, like radon?
Radon is definitely something that is in the light right now. I know several radon mitigation and testing and mitigation companies. And whenever you buy a house, it's pretty standard to have it tested if you have a basement for radon. We're kind of in a moderate zone here in the metro area, which means your action level is 4 picocuries per liter of air, which most people won't really understand what that means. But we tend to be within the 2 to 4 range. So we have a tendency to be able to be in that higher area. So it's always a good idea to get tested. It's one of the number one causes of lung cancer because it's odorless, it's colorless, it's naturally occurring. And so, you know, you won't know it's there unless you test for it.
You said it's naturally occurring. Where does it come from?
Rocks. So uranium is actually naturally occurring as well in very, very small amounts. And so when that breaks down, one of its byproducts is radium. Radon.
And then so down the line, actually lead is also a byproduct.
That's the stable. Like, yeah.
Okay. There you go. So that makes absolute sense that we would have more of an exposure. We are heavy lead area as well here in Missouri. Okay. Wow. Thanks. You've just connected some dots for me.
Wonderful.
And hopefully it's helping some of our listeners as well. Well, I am Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. We'll be back in a few minutes with Nicole Asmanoff for a little bit more discussion of environmental toxins and some steps that you can take to make a difference.
This program is underwritten by Diversified Health and Wellness Center, located at 11042 Manchester Road in Kirkwood, and online at diversifiedhwc.com. We are a network of dedicated professionals providing a diverse array of integrated health and wellness services. Our goal is to help our clients find complete health solutions for body, mind, and spirit.
This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRH LP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri. This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. This is Amanda LaPlante. We're back with Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM, and Nicole Asmanoff is joining us today. Nicole has a background in environmental sciences. She currently works with American Star Mortgage, but she's diving into some research that she's done today and her degree and her background working in environmental sciences so that she can help us understand environmental toxins. Thanks for being here, Nicole.
Thank you so much. This has been great being able to share this information with people.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I think our listeners do too. So we're going to talk about, and we're talking about some heavy stuff. We're getting real today on Get Real to Heal. So we're going to talk about the Westlake landfill. And we kind of debated whether or not we should get into this on the show, but we think it's important to talk about this as kind of a case study. So let's just talk about a little bit of the history.
All right. So I've done extensive history on, you know, where the materials that are currently in Westlake Landfill came from, why they were created, how they were transported. So it's all started with the Manhattan Project during World War II in St. Louis. Mallinckrodt was tasked with refining uranium. And when you do that, there are byproducts that are still radioactive. And so they weren't able, this was downtown on off North Broadway, and they couldn't store all this material there. So they actually transported it from the city out to Laddie Avenue, which is just north of the airport. And there was just an open plot of land, and they carried it in uncovered trucks along the roads, and they dumped it here.
And talking about back in that era, this was all such new technology.
Yes.
People really didn't have a good grasp or understanding on this at the time, or did they? I think some people knew more than they let on.
Yeah.
But the average person that was working and doing this work really did not.
Yeah.
So they started dumping, and?
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're just going to store this here, this material here on this field. And it happened to be right next to a creek. They didn't cover it. They didn't do anything with it because, you know, they didn't think about it. They didn't want to spend the money on it. And so that's kind of where the contamination started. And everyone is quite familiar with Coldwater Creek, and everyone, all the kids grew up playing in that creek, which is another thing that, you know, you want to be aware of what is going into this creek that your kids are playing in if you're near one. And then finally, someone's like, wait, this is probably not a good idea. We probably should not have this stuff just laying out. And
maybe radioactive waste just sitting out uncovered on top of the ground is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So they mixed it with a bunch of soil. And so they transported all of this to the landfill, which at the time was unregulated. There were no liners. There were no regulations for landfills. And so they used it as cover material. So every day when you throw stuff away, your trash truck picks it up, takes it to the landfill, dumps it, a steamroller comes over, flattens it, and at the end of the day, they put a layer of soil over the top and they flatten it down. And that's what they use this material for all throughout the Westlake landfill. And so now, problem also was that they didn't know where they put it. And you have your concerns with this materials, with every landfill, you have these concerns. You have your rainwater, it rains on it, it comes down. Most regulated landfills have ways to recapture this water, but in this case, the radioactive material is getting into the rainwater, seeping down, and getting into the groundwater because it was actually an old quarry. They mined this area out, and then they filled it back up with trash.
Which we still see that practice going on today.
Yes, it's very common. But with quarries, it's just rock. It's rock lined, and rocks have crevices and cracks and ways for water to get out. So that's one of the major concerns with the radioactive material being there. This is right in the floodplain of the Missouri River. And so the Missouri River is where we get most of our drinking water. And so when people started to realize that this stuff was there, they wanted to do something about it.
Well, and they started to realize because of a litany of different health issues and things arising, right? I mean, it's been well documented that within a certain radius, there was an abnormal proportion of people getting autoimmune diseases, cancer. And
actually, I grew up in Maryland Heights, not too far from the landfill. I personally have rheumatoid arthritis. My mom, my sister, my best friend, and my best friend's mom have all had rare, unique issues, whether it's cancer or other things that have happened to them. So, you know, it's anecdotal, but there is evidence. They have done studies. They've done surveys of people within this area, and a lot of issues with children also have been noted. And then I think what really sparked the fear with the landfill, and no pun intended, was the fire. Landfill fires are very common. It's compressed. And so things just spontaneously combust. It's not flames. It's kind of more of a smolder.
So I think the good thing that's come out of this whole Westlake issue, right? Which it's some uneasy, scary stuff, and not a bright point in our history. And we've had a few of those in America and in the world, right? We're all learning as we go along these new technologies, new wastes, and new things that we're dealing with. And I think one thing to point out is that regulations are necessary and important.
Yes.
Because people are always wanting to cut regulations, you know, for profit. And this is a case where there were no regulations. People were interested probably in profit, you know, and companies were looking for ways to do things efficiently and at a reasonable, you know, a lesser cost. And the later cost is greater.
Yes.
So protecting our regulations is important, I think. And people can affect that by reaching out to their representatives.
Mm-hmm. So like I said, you know, the smoldering fire is really what sparked people to start taking action. They're like, oh my gosh, this radioactive material is going to burn. It's going to be released into the atmosphere. It's going to impact our surface waters, our surface soils. Our children's health is being impacted. Our health is being impacted. We need to do something about this. And it has been a long journey. It's been probably about 10 years that people have been contacting their state representatives and have been trying to get the Army Corps of Engineers to take over and actually remove this material from the landfill. It's so close to our water source. It's impacting a large radius around it and the health of the people. So actually recently they succeeded. And now there is a plan in place and has been approved for them to start removing some of this material from the landfill and taking it somewhere else.
So people can make a difference.
People can.
And this is a good example of one of those instances where people took action and it made a difference.
They persevered.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a year maybe or 2 years. But if you believe in what you're doing, you can make a difference.
Absolutely. So that's one great example of just seeing an issue, taking action, being persistent, persevering, and then something actually getting done about it, which is awesome. Another thing that people can do is just look at the pattern of, you know, we've talked a lot today about runoff from other landfills you've got huge amounts of waste that are being produced by people every day in the U.S. and it's ending up in some places that maybe we don't want it, right? And then as it breaks down, there are different toxic issues that can occur. So ways that we can reduce our impact every day, I think it's important to touch on as well, just to prevent future issues, right?
Yes.
So what are some things that, you know, I know you're very big on recycling and we're gonna get Nicole started on a soapbox here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It'll happen. I'm gonna do the three R's. I'm going to pull out the oldie but a goodie.
There you go. Okay, fine. Go for it.
All right.
Let's do it.
So I don't know if many people know this, but you have reduce, reuse, recycle. I've been hearing it forever. But the thing is, they're in that order for a reason. You're supposed to reduce first, reuse second, and then finally, when you have no other ways to do either of those, then you recycle. Because I hear people so often, I'm like, do you have a reusable water bottle or a cup or something? They're like, oh, I'll just recycle my plastic bottle. And it seems like it's kind of an out. It makes it okay. But it takes oil and resources to make that plastic water bottle. And then half the time, it doesn't even end up being recycled. It ends up in our oceans or in our landfills. And the rate of recycling in the United States isn't actually as high as you would think.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I've read some things about that as well. So, you know, just simple things that people can do every day, like carry a glass water bottle or a metal stainless water bottle.
I find metal is better. I've already broken one glass.
True. Good point. I know mine's rubber coated because I am notoriously clumsy. So, so I think, just little steps that we can do every day to feel good about the future and preserving the planet for the next generation to come along.
A lot of people don't know what to do with things that are out of the ordinary when they're done with it. Is it a pillow or a couch or something? What do I do with this? And always consider donating before throwing away, or Google, can this be recycled and where can I recycle this? If it's an electronics, then those are very easily recycled. They have precious metals and heavy metals in them that if they go in the landfill, they cause a lot of damage.
Yeah. And I think this is all really just good information. People can make a difference, right? That's what we're trying to get down to, right? Everyone can make a difference, reduce our impact, understand the issues going on in your environment, and advocate for what it is that you believe in. Those are all the kind of, I think, the takeaways from today's conversation, right?
Yes. One of my favorite quotes is, be the change you wish to see in the world.
Mine too.
Love
absolutely.
It.
And I think it's so true. And you're doing a great job of that. So
Thank you. I really hope this information helps some people today and makes them start thinking and looking into what's going on around them.
Yeah, and it may not always be fun to hear, but one of the best things that you can do for anyone that you care about is tell them the truth.
Yep.
So that's what we're trying to do today. Well, this has been great. Thanks so much, Nicole Asmanoff, American Star Mortgage. Appreciate you joining me today and sharing your background and expertise in environmental science and testing. And yeah, I hope you'll come back again. Talk sometime.
I would love to.
We'll talk some more about water bottles, or we'll get into some little things that people maybe don't know that might surprise them.
Sounds good.
Yeah, cool. All right. This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information about health coaching, my services, or to contact me, please reach me online at amandalaplante.com or at facebook.com/getrealtoheal. You can also listen to back episodes of Get Real to Heal at soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal. Have a great day.